Of course, turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith. And of course, we're seeing men and women who trusted God, who took God at His Word. And that's what they did. They lived out. And that's the goal for us, is to be men and women who do the same thing. We take God at His Word. As we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, we've done a number of things. We've started and we talked about the faith. And of course, I'm using this for the first time, so if it all messes up, we've got the helper over there that'll take care of whatever I do wrong. We started off by talking about the fact that faith is really simply taking God at His word. That's what faith is. That's being assured of something, trusting God. Living by faith is living our lives based on the word of God. We saw that the key to faith is the object of our faith. It's not the amount of faith that you have, but the object of our faith. You can put all your faith in Buddha and you're not saved. You put your faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. As we begin going verse by verse through the book of Hebrews, through Hebrews chapter 11, we're seeing what is often called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And this morning we're going to see blessing by faith. And what we're doing is really, it's two verses that go together. Hebrews 11, 20 and 21, two different blessings. We saw already last time before we went on vacation that Isaac blessed Jacob. It was Jacob and Esau, and Isaac blessed Jacob above Esau. And we saw that whole thing and how it fit. And then this week we see that Jacob, and this is here's Jacob, and he's going to bless the sons of Joseph. You remember Jacob had 12 sons. One of his sons is named Joseph. Jacob's not going to be blessing Joseph. Actually, he's blessing Joseph's sons, and it's his grandsons, and we're going to see how it fits together. What does it mean that he blessed them? How does that fit? And what does it mean, blessing by faith? And so as we look at this, we want to be able to put it together and understand it and see how it fits together. Sometimes we say something like this. We say, may God bless you, or God bless you, or have a blessed day. What are we saying? What do we mean by that? We're actually saying that we want God to show His favor on you. That's what it means to be blessed. God's blessing. And the question could be this. Hadn't God already blessed us so much? Hadn't He already shown His blessing on us? We think about God's favor. We think about His grace and mercy. And I mean, think about it. Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. None of us deserve to go to heaven, but God in His grace, by grace we've been saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we have eternal life as a gift. And then mercy is not getting what we do deserve. We all deserve to be separated from God forever, but God in His mercy doesn't separate us. He brings us to Himself. So God is a God of grace and mercy. Now let's think about blessing, because we looked at this passage and in verse 20 it says Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, and then verse 21 it says Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And what does it mean to bless? The Hebrew word for bless is baruch, and it has an idea of either bless or praise. In fact, if it's from God to man, it's always blessing. It's God blesses us. If it's man to God, if it says, bless the name of the Lord, O my soul, the idea there is it's praise. We're not blessing God by like bestowing something on Him other than the fact of praise. So whenever it's God to man, it's always Him blessing us in some way. When it's man back to God, it's the idea of praise. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, it's actually going to be a little bit different, because it's actually, we're seeing how Isaac blessed Jacob. And then we see how Jacob blessed Joseph's sons. So this is actually man to man. But what we're seeing is this blessing that they have given. We saw it last time on the first one, and we'll see it this morning, is that it's from God. It's something dealing with God's blessing, God's prophecy, God's message, and we're going to see it. Isaac is going to has blessed Jacob and then Esau, and now Jacob is going to bless the grandsons. What's going on? Well, let me remind you of what we've seen over these weeks. We started and we looked at the very beginning that by faith we talked about creation and realized that God created everything out of nothing. And then we saw the sacrifice of faith by Abel as he offered a better sacrifice than Cain. Then we saw the walk of faith with Enoch, in which he trusted God and God took him with him. We saw the work of faith by Noah, where he actually built an ark. Even though it had never rained, God told him that it was going to bring a flood upon the entire world. Noah built the ark and by faith did all of that. Then we saw the obedience of faith of Abraham. Abraham was willing to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, the place that he lived, and went to a place that God said, I'm going to show you this land, I'm going to give you this land, and I'm going to give you the land, the seed, and the blessing. And obedience of faith, Abraham just believed God and did what God told him to do. We saw dwelling by faith, that they lived as strangers and pilgrims. Abraham said, the descendants, they never lived, never possessed the land that God said is your land. I mean, to this very day, Abraham has never possessed the land that God promised him. But one day he will. And so they lived by faith, Abraham and Sarah and the descendants. Then we saw birth by faith, which was amazing. That Sarah was 90 years old, Abraham basically 100 years old, and they trusted God that He was going to give them a son. and it was Isaac. And then we saw future by faith. And that was where we looked at a whole bunch of different people that in that verse that basically said they all lived and died never receiving the promises. But they were looking forward to the city that God was going to build for them. And by the way, we're looking forward to the same city. And we talked about that. There is a city that one day we will live in. It's called the Holy City. It's called New Jerusalem. It's going to be the new heavens and new earth. The city's going to come out of heaven. It's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high. It's going to be the place that Jesus is going to prepare for us. And that's where we're going to live. And that's the future by faith. Then we saw, I think, the most incredible, it just to me is the most incredible thing in the whole scripture, in which Abraham by faith offered up his son Isaac. God told him to take your son and take him to a place and offer him as a burnt offering. And what was so amazing, it wasn't just because he was his son, it was the fact that this was the son through which the promise of the Messiah, the promise of everything would come. If Abraham killed Isaac, which is what God told him to do, then where in the world would the Messiah come from? Abraham believed God enough that he was going to offer his son, believing that God would raise his son from the dead. We saw that. That was incredible. And then last time, now we're in the blessings by faith, and it's twofold. Last time we saw Isaac bless Jacob and Esau. And remember, that was a tough thing because Isaac really wanted to bless Esau, and Jacob tricked him and everything, and it was a mess. But the bottom line, Isaac ultimately did what God wanted him to do. And now this morning, Jacob blesses Joseph's sons, it's his grandsons, and we're going to see how all that fits together. And so there's so much there. Let's think about blessing for a second. What we can see would happen at near the end of a life at this time, a father, or sometimes a grandfather, but most of the time a father, would bring his son or sons in and give them his blessing. Now, in the case of what we're looking at in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on down, the blessing they're given is coming from God. Because God said to Abraham, you've got this land seed blessing, and your son will do the same thing. And so he blessed his son, Isaac, and then Isaac is turned around and supposed to bless the next one on down, that's Jacob. And then we see Jacob's going to do the same sort of thing. And so God had made this covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on down. And so when we see these blessings, it's not just a father saying, bless you, my son. It's from Abraham to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, and on down. God's promises, and we're going to see it. But let's think about a regular household. At the time all this was written, at the time there was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and that, in a household, the oldest son had certain privileges. The oldest son, if you were the firstborn son in a family, you had privileges nobody else had. There might be five other boys out there, but you as the oldest son, you had some privileges. And here's what you got. You got the priesthood. See, before that there was the tribe of Levi, and before that they had the priesthood and the sacrifices and all those things, the father was the priest of the family. If you look at the book of Job, do you remember the book of Job? What did Job do every day? Every day he offered a sacrifice for his children. He was the priest of his family. Well, the oldest son, when the father died, became the priest of the family. The oldest son also had what was called the birthright, which means he had a double portion. And then finally he had the blessing, which as the oldest, there were certain things that he was blessed. Now, we saw that it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes the oldest son doesn't always get the blessing. In fact, we saw last time that Abraham gave the blessing to Isaac, not Ishmael, and Ishmael was older. And we saw that we're seeing Jacob and Esau, and that Jacob got the blessing from Isaac. Jacob was younger than Esau, but Jacob got it because this is God's plan. And we're seeing how all this works. Well, this morning we're going to see this family. Now, when you look in the Bible and you think about these families, you go Abraham and you go, oh man, Abraham was the greatest of all. And then you go Isaac and you go, well, I had Isaac, he was great too. And then you get to Jacob and you say things like, Jacob was really great, but then you start really reading the Bible and you go, Jacob wasn't that great. I mean, you know, he had all kind of problems. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we think everybody in the Bible were just incredible, and they were, especially the people in the Hall of Fame of Faith because they trusted God. But Jacob, what was his name? What does his name mean? It means trickster. It means deceiver. He tricked his brother. I mean, his name got changed to Israel, which was Prince of God. But remember, he had 12 sons, which ultimately became the 12 tribes of Israel. His oldest son was named Reuben. His youngest son was named Benjamin, which means right-hand son. That's what that meant. Normally, the oldest son would get what three things? The priesthood, the birthright, which has the double portion, and the blessing. But Reuben, and I'm not even going to tell you what he did. You just go look in the scripture for yourself. Reuben did something bad. And so he didn't get what the oldest son got. In fact, it was divided up. And because of the disobedience by Reuben, the priesthood went to the tribe of Levi. Went to Levi, and that's why the Levites were the ones that had the tabernacle and the temple and all that. The double portion went to Joseph, and we're going to see him today because he's got two sons that are going to be blessed by Jacob. And then this, the what we call the blessing, which is where the Messiah is passed down, that's through Judah because Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. So when we look at this passage this morning, we're actually seeing, even though it's a blessing aspect, we're seeing the double portion given to Joseph based on his two sons. But it's amazing what happens. So we're going to see how it fits together. So look at Hebrews 11, verse 21. It says, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, this is right the last part of his life, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Now, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. We'll talk more about it in a minute. And he worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, let me just say this. Why did the writer of Hebrews say that he blessed them, and why did he say leaning on the top of his staff? In other words, he had a cane, right? And he's leaning, blessing these boys. Why did he even put that in there? What difference does it make? Well, we'll see in a minute because we'll come back to it as we see it. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 48. Let's see the story. Let's see what happens. Genesis chapter 48, as we already know from Hebrews 11, that this is at the end, near the end of Jacob's life. Now, if you remember, Jacob had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and then he had all these boys, and then he had Joseph, and he had Benjamin. So he had all, you know, Asher and Gad, and they had 12 sons, and they had one daughter, Dinah, and so they had the daughter and 12 sons. Now, Jacob, instead of coming to bless Joseph, he's going to give Joseph the double portion, and it's going to have to deal with his two grandsons, or Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Watch what happens. Chapter 48, Genesis 48, verse 1. Now, it came about after these things that Joseph was told, behold, your father's sick. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. Now, he took the two sons, but he found out that his father was sick. Now, I want you to, you'll remember Ephraim and Manasseh. This passage says Manasseh and Ephraim. Wonder why? Because Manasseh was the oldest. See, you notice that I always say Ephraim and Manasseh. But I'm saying it backwards because Manasseh was actually the oldest one. But why do I always say Ephraim and Manasseh? And why do we always say Ephraim and Manasseh? There's a reason. We'll talk about it in a minute. But it's actually Manasseh and Ephraim. Watch, it says, hey, your father is really sick. You better do something. So when it was told, so he took his two sons with him. It was told to Jacob, behold, your son Joseph has come to you. Israel, that's Jacob's other name, collected his strength and sat up in the bed. Now, can you picture this? And I picture this. Here he is. He's in his bed, and he's really old, and everybody thinks he's dying. And so word comes to Joseph, your daddy's dying. You better get there with your boys if you want a blessing. So he brings his boys, and when they get to him, and they say, by the way, your son is outside with his two sons. And so you can see old Jacob sitting himself up in the bed, you know, trying to sit up. And it goes on to say in verse 3, then Jacob said to Joseph, you see Joseph comes in, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan. And what did he do? He blessed me. Now Jacob says to Joseph, God Almighty, that's El Shaddai. We saw that name when we did our when we're doing our study in Sunday school on the names of God in the Old Testament. He says, the El Shaddai, the powerful one, the one who provides. God appeared to me in Luz, in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me. And he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and I'll make you a company of peoples, and will give you this land to your descendants after you for an everlasting possession. Now, that's the same thing God told Abraham. It's the same thing God told Isaac. It's the same thing Jacob says. God told me exactly the same thing. Now, he's going to look at Joseph and say, now concerning this land, let's talk about this land. Now watch, we want to go down to verse 8 because this is when he sees the two sons, or when the two sons are there. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, who are these? Now you got to understand that Jacob, Israel, can't see very well at all. In fact, he's almost blind, and he can't see. So he looks up, and he sees somebody is with Joseph, and he probably figures out who it is, but he says, Who is this? Who is this? Joseph said to his father, they're my sons, whom God has given me here. So he said, bring them to me, please, that I may what? Bless them. So he's going to bless them. He's going to do something special. He said, these are the two sons that God has given to me. So notice, verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were so dim from age that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them close to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Now these are little boys. These are not men. These are little boys. Okay? Little boys. He's brought his two little boys in to see his dad. And he's basically, this is your granddaddy. This is your granddaddy. Be nice to granddaddy. Don't knock anything over. Just go in there, okay? Go in there, all right? And Jacob Israel is set up in the bed. He can't really see. He probably can see shadows. He said, Who is this? And he said, These are your sons. These are my sons that God has given to me. And he said, Bring them here. Now, I want you to notice it says that he couldn't see, and he brought those two boys. Now, the two boys, the older one is Manasseh. The younger one is Ephraim. Now, when the blessing comes, who's supposed to get it? The oldest one. So watch what happens. Israel said to Joseph, this is Jacob. Jacob said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your children as well. Now, y'all know the story, right? You remember that Jacob loved Joseph better than all his other sons. And he treated him with favor. And the other brothers didn't like Jacob because he was kind of a smart aleck. And so they sold him into slavery. And Joseph ended up in Egypt, and he was with Potiphar, and then he ended up in prison. And then because he could interpret the dreams, they brought him out, and he became number two in the whole kingdom of Egypt. And when that happened, they went back and they got the family. And so Jacob, who believed that Joseph had been dead for years, now finds out his son is alive. And when they come to Egypt, he sees his son. And now he says, not only have I never thought I'd ever see you again, now I'm actually seeing my grandsons. It's the greatest thing of all. I mean, he's just going, this is fantastic. So in verse 11, Israel says to Joseph, I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your children as well. Then what does Joseph do? Then Joseph took them from his knees. They were sitting on his knees and bowed with his face to the ground. He says, this is a great day for my daddy. He's seeing his grandchildren. And so he has those two little boys on his knees, and his daddy has reached down and hugged them and everything, and so he bows down to his daddy. But then watch what he's going to do. Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right, and brought them close to him. Now here's what he did. He said, I'm going to give them to my daddy, and my daddy's right hand is over here, and my daddy's left hand is over here, and so my oldest son is on this side, and my youngest son is on this side, and so he says, Dad, here, bless them, and what he expects is his daddy to reach out with his right hand and put his hand on Manasseh and his left hand on Ephraim. That's what he's planning to do, because the oldest son is supposed to have a particular blessing. Ephraim to Israel's left, Manasseh to his right. But look what happened. Verse 14. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was firstborn. So he did like this. And you can see Joseph going, whoa, daddy, what are you doing? It's a crossover. He's crossed over. Right hand on Ephraim, left hand on Manasseh. Wait a minute, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was his firstborn. And then watch what he does. He blessed Joseph, and he said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walk, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless these lads. And may my name live on in them. And may the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So he's beginning to bless them. And you know, he's going to say certain things in a minute. Well, notice what happened. When Joseph saw that his father laid the right hand on Ephraim's head, it displeased him. Why? Ephraim's the what? He's the younger one. He said, oh, wait, daddy. No. So what is he going to do? He's going to move his daddy's hands. Never touch an older man doing a blessing. Okay? I mean, that's just one thing you got to learn. It says, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on Ephraim's, it displeased him, and he grasped his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. What he's going to do is take his right hand and say, no, put it over here, daddy. Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Place your right hand on his head. But notice, but his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also will be become a people, and he will be great. However, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. What did he actually say? I know. I know what I'm doing. I'm not stupid. I know what I'm doing. I didn't just cross my arms on purpose, you know, as a mistake. I know exactly what I'm doing. The older son's going to be fine. He's going to become a great people. But the younger son is going to even be greater, and his descendants shall be a multitude of nations. And look what he says. He blessed them that day, saying, by you, Israel, were pronounced blessings, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. That's what he did. Now that's not the normal way, but so far Abraham had two sons, Isaac, Ishmael, and he blessed Isaac the younger. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau is the older, but he blessed Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, and he's come down to Joseph. And Joseph has two sons, and he's given him the double portion, and he takes the younger one and says, the younger one will be the big one. The younger one. Now, the other one, he's going to be fine. He's going to have everything as well. But the younger one, that's where it will be. And now let me tell you what happened. The Northern Empire, you remember the nation of Israel, was divided into these 12 tribes after they got there. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But after the division of the kingdom, the Northern Empire became known as Ephraim because the tribe of Ephraim was the most populous and the most powerful. So the prophecy, the blessing that Ephraim would be famous would come true. The Northern Empire. Sometimes you'll read the Old Testament and it'll talk about from the nation of Ephraim or from the Northern Empire, Ephraim. Even though there were 10 tribes in the Northern Empire, the main one was Ephraim, and that's the promise. Jacob to his son Joseph. Look at verse 21. Then Jacob said to Joseph, behold, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. He said, you're going back to the land. By the way, did Joseph make it back to the land? Where did Joseph die? In Egypt. Did he make it back to the land? They took his bones back there. He's exactly right. We're going to see that. That's going to be one of the by faith passages. He said, I gave you one portion more than your brothers. He's talking to Joseph. He says, you'll get the double portion, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my bow and my sword and my bow. Joseph got the double portion. And it's true. The tribe of Levi got something. The tribe of Judah got something. But Joseph, now let me ask you something. When they went into the land, do you remember when they went into the land? They divided the land among the 12 tribes. There weren't 12 tribes. There were 13 tribes because Joseph had two, Ephraim and Manasseh. Levi didn't get a piece of land, but Joseph's two sons got the double portion, Ephraim and Manasseh, and Manasseh became the blessed one. Back to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We got to say one more thing. It says, by faith Jacob, as he was dying, about to die, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. He basically said, younger son Ephraim, you're going to be big. Everybody's going to know you. You're going to be the leader. And Manasseh, you're going to be big too, but not quite as big as your brother. And he blessed the sons of Joseph. And then it says, and worshiped. He worshiped God. You remember what he said? God Almighty has blessed me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then it says, he worshiped leaning on top of his staff. Now, I want to say one thing before we look at that. sometimes you look at things in the Bible and it doesn't look right. We say it, you know, if you go down the list, it should have been Ishmael, not Isaac, and it should have been Esau, not Jacob, and maybe it should have been Reuben and not Joseph, and maybe it should have been Manasseh and not Ephraim. But God has his plans, and he does things the way he chooses to. Sometimes things don't look right. Jesus Christ died on the cross to do what? To pay for sin. That doesn't look right, that the Son of God comes to the earth and they crucify him. Sometimes it doesn't look right when the Bible says if you want to gain your life, you must lose it. If you want to be great, you got to be a servant. Freedom from sin comes as a servant of Christ. I want you to understand something. That God is working in all of the events of our lives. Just as he was working in these events, and as he said, Ephraim's going to do this, and Manasseh's going to do this, and all these other things, that's exactly what we see. We see that God is sovereign, and we must trust him as he brings events and circumstances in our lives. I don't know why this is doing this right now, but I just want you to realize that, man, that sometimes things happen in our lives that we say, I do not understand this at all. I don't know why this is happening. And yet God is sovereignly working all things according to the counsel of his will. And we got one other thing. Leaning on his staff. Why is it so important that he was leaning on his staff? When Jacob came back to the promised land from being with his relatives, he had tricked his brother Esau. And when he came back into the land, he heard Esau was coming with 400 men. And he thought Esau was going to come kill him. And so he divided all his property up and he sent him ahead of time, hoping that all of this stuff that he was going to give to Esau, that Esau wouldn't be mad at him and kill him. And the night before, God appeared and wrestled with Jacob. And by the end of the day, Jacob was holding on to God and he realized, God said, let me go. And Jacob said, I'll never let you go again. And he was basically saying, I can't make it without you, God. And God reached down and touched his thigh, touched his hip right there. And all from that point on, he went, ow, I can't walk. He said, I know. From now on, every step you take, you'll remember, you must trust me. Because see, up to that point, he was Jacob the deceiver, and after that, he became Israel, the Prince of God. And for the rest of his life, he walked with a cane. For the rest of his life, he had a staff, and he took a limp every time. And so when the writer of Hebrews says he blessed his sons and he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff, he is saying he had remembered from that point on, he's always having to trust God. And remember that the only way you make it is you have to trust God. It's not your strength, it's God's strength. And the same thing, we have to live our lives not in our own power, but in God's power. John 15:5, apart from him we can do nothing. Philippians 4:13, in Christ we can do all things. Let me give you a couple of quick applications before the microphone goes out on us. Let's rest in the sovereign plan of God. We have to. He works all things. We rest in him. He is in control. There's no such thing as fate or chance or luck. We're in the hands of an all-powerful, loving God. We have to trust him. There's no telling what's going to come into our lives. And sometimes things come in our lives, we go, wow, this is unbelievably good. And sometimes things come in our lives, and we go, this is unbelievably bad. And we have to trust him. As we experience events of life, we realize he's working all things according to the counsel of his will, and we have to trust him and not ourselves. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll do what? He'll make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. God is working in every event. And so when things happen, we don't say, why me? You say, Lord, what do you want me to learn? Not why is this happening, but what do you want me to learn? That's why in James it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience. When trials come in your life, the question is not why, the question is, what do you want me to learn? It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So when the trials come, it's not why did this happen to me, it's what do you want me to learn from this? How can I trust you? What do you want me to gain? So we must trust him. The second thing is this, live in God's power, not our own power. We must remember that as we go through life, there's a stick that we're leaning on. Just like Jacob, every step that he took, he realized that he was having to rest in God's strength, because the night that he wrestled with God, he held on to God, and he said, I will never let you go again. He said, I know you won't. You're going to be thinking of me from this point on. That's why he lived the rest of his life. We must remember that we have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through him who strengthens us, and apart from him, we can do nothing.